Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew. Today, the readings are taken from Hosea chapter 5, verses 15 to chapter 6, verse 6, and from Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13 and 18 to 26. And our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, reflects on compassionate discipleship.
This first reading is from Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, on to chapter 6, verse 6. It's one of these strange readings where we hear God speaking, we hear the Israelites speaking through Hosea. So in this first part of the passage, Hosea is pronouncing judgment against Israel. Then I will return to my lair until they have borne their guilt and seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. And then Israel speaks, being unrepentant. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. And then Hosea goes on to say that the Anointed One speaks. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you to pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, about the calling of Matthew. And then we go on to the healing of a girl and a woman. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, my daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to see the love of the Father shown in Jesus, the Father full of mercy and grace. Amen. We are exploring the Gospel of Matthew, and for some weeks we are looking at the theme of discipleship. And we started 2 weeks ago with what a disciple is. The question, what is actually a disciple? For those who know a little bit of the Greek, that's the top one. The translation is there. Mathetes is the Greek word in the New Testament for disciples. And it's more about a learner, an apprentice, than someone who sits in a classroom learning from a master. It's more someone who is following the master, observing, learning, doing the kind of things the master does. That's an apprentice. And so that was what the first disciples did with Jesus. For 3 years, they were following him. They were observing him. They were listening to his teaching. And they were sent to do the kind of things Jesus did. And then after the resurrection, they were commissioned by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them and to teach them to obey all that Jesus had taught them. And Jesus reassured them, saying, as you do this, I will be with you. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And of course, the great story of Pentecost is that coming of God's Holy Spirit and the birth of that church, first church, the people of God, the body of Christ, those now called to make disciples. The church is that community of disciples who have a purpose, which is to manifest, to show the character, the intentions of God through their lives. That's to be purposeful. A church needs to have a purpose, a direction. And we're exploring here what it means to be those people who encounter God and through that encounter grow in being followers of Jesus and learn to participate in the life of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we looked at what true discipleship means. And because of circumstances, we looked more in detail to that extraordinary life of our Queen Elizabeth and how in our own way was a disciple of Jesus, serving the people with courage, dedication, dignity, and faithfulness. She made people, lots of those stories are about people feeling at ease despite her rank and who she was. They felt value and important. And her faith and her service now speaks, we could say, beyond her grave. What she taught us is that we are called to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And this week, we're going to see what it means to be a compassionate disciple. And so we have this story of a man called Matthew in our reading. Matthew is a tax collector and is sitting at a booth. Now, from that detail, we might deduce that Matthew probably was a kind of custom official in the service of the ruler called Herod Antipas, because he was sitting there at the booth, and most probably that was like a tax office at the town of Capernaum. And he would be concerned with getting the money for goods crossing the borders from Antipas' territory, possibly across the lake, or possibly across the Jordan. And when I was in Burundi, where we were traveling from one county to another, I was struck because at the enter of the county, as you go and you drive, there was those two poles and a rope on the road. And I said, oh, what are they for? And they said, oh, that's when, a big truck come with goods. They would pull the rope to stop the truck because he has to pay taxes each time he goes through a certain county, a certain province. He has to show a paper that he has paid taxes for that province. And so that's the kind of job that most probably Matthew had, to cross from one province to the other, from one area to the other. People had to pay taxes. Now, collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans was not a job that was very much praised. They were usually despised. They were often connected with thieves and were described as greedy and self-serving. They were seen as unpatriotic. And inevitably, because they had to get money from all kinds of people, they were mixing with Gentiles, which would make them ritually unclean. And yet, in our passage, we have Jesus. Jesus who sees. He saw a man named Matthew. He saw him. He didn't see the person that many other people saw. He didn't stop at the greedy, unpatriotic, self-serving person Matthew might have been. No, he sees a person that deserves a chance. And he invites him to be his friends. Come, come and follow me. Jesus stopped at various people to say, come and follow me. Peter was, come and follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. He says to all, come and follow me, and I will give you rest. Come and follow me. Come be with me, and I will give you life in all its fullness. Here we only have Jesus says, come and follow me. Be part of what am I doing, what I am about. Come and have fellowship with me. And Matthew gets up and follows him. Christian life is always about a getting up and a following. For some of you, that might be a little bit like Matthew. There was kind of a specific event or a specific time where you can say, I've started to follow Jesus then and there. You might have been part of an altar call when someone preached the word of God and you were touched and you decided to follow Jesus. But for many, it might be more a progressive following of Jesus. But what is true is actually every day we have to get up. And every day we have to make that commitment to follow Jesus, to be in his presence, to learn to receive his friendship, to express his character and his intentions where we are. We all have work to do with Jesus. And that work will be different than mine. And it will be different from the one that sits next to you. But what God is calling you to do every day is important. It's essential. Of course, doing things in the church is good, but it's not more important and valuable than what you do through the week. Serving, whether as a nurse, a teacher, a cleaner, a policeman, a homemaker, a parent, a carer. Serving in a church is not more important than serving your community and your family. What you are doing with the help of Jesus as a Christian is important. Every day we get up and every day we need to commit ourselves to follow Jesus. One small thing I try to do most morning is to start the day by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not always easy to look at the day with that attitude, but it's important because Jesus is with us. He has promised that. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord that you are serving. So Matthew got up and started to follow Jesus. And his experience of Jesus' compassion, love, unquestioned acceptance of him has immediate results. He makes Jesus the guest of honor at his house. He has dinner with him, and he invites his friends and colleagues, all disputable characters. We hear from the text, they're all tax collectors and sinners. Now, table fellowship in that culture was regarded as a very important symbol of closeness. Only intimate people would be invited at your table. It's a little bit like in my country and in England, we have those kind of social signs. We understand that if you made it there, you're a little bit closer to me. So in Belgium, you always start talking to your neighbors or at the doorsteps. That's where it starts. But if you invite them in your house, that's a different level of relationship. That shows that you committed to that relationship. I don't know, I think maybe England is a bit like the back door and the front door. You know, only certain people are allowed to go to the front door and other people are, you know, they have to use the back door. I learned very quickly that the vicar can quickly straight go to the front door. That's fine, even if he doesn't know the person. But we have those kind of signs. And that was the case in Jesus' culture. Table fellowship was a symbol of closeness, acceptance, invitation, welcome. Through Matthew, who stood up and started following Jesus, his questionable colleagues and friends were now able to meet Jesus personally and intimately. And I think the place must have been quite a mess. Here is a picture. And the title is Wars and Tax Collector and a Table Open to All. From Adam Gopnik, I think that's right, on Jesus Eating with Outcasts. Righteousness was the last concern of this crowd. Righteousness in the sense of following all the religious rules and doing all the right things. And yet here they were, sitting at the same table with Jesus and his disciples who were learning, observing, seeing what Jesus was doing. And it's Jesus' association with the tax collectors and the sinners of that day that makes the Pharisees angry. And from their perspective, calls into question his real commitment to do God's will. They ask a question, why, not to Jesus straight away, but to the disciple, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He should not defile himself by being with that crowd. He shouldn't mingle with them. He's a teacher. And Jesus gives the most shocking and yet wonderful answer. Healthy people do not need a physician, but rather those who are sick. Have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy more than sacrifice. But Jesus didn't mean that the Pharisees were righteous. They had the same problems than anyone else. They actually were as spiritually sick than anyone else, but they couldn't see it. They were blind to their spiritual needs. And a physician who is capable of bringing health can only work with those who know they are unwell. They need the help of a physician. Jesus can't help those who see themselves as healthy, fine, respectable, above reproach. Those who think they have it all sorted, they can manage life for themselves, thank you very much. They don't need to be changed, to be made healthy, to find forgiveness. But Jesus can do a lot for those who know they need help because they are sick. They need rescue. Jesus can rescue the least, the last, and the lost, the guilty, the angry, the jealous, those addicted to power, money, or sex. the greedy, the thief, the adulterer, the liar, the cheater, the bully, the depressed, the lonely. Stuart Townend put that reality into a beautiful song called Come All You Vagabonds. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you questioners looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen, come all you broken, come those who worry about houses and money, and all those who don't have a care in the world, from every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come self-sufficient with wearied ambition, and come those who feel at the end of the road, fiery debaters and religion haters, accusers, abusers, the hurt and ignored. And he says this, come to the feast. There is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. And that's what happened in this passage. There is a feast, there is a table, there is a king who welcomed them with wonder and love and the power of grace. I desire mercy, Jesus said, and not sacrifice. We will share communion. And maybe for you, that will be the first time to say, I want to follow this Jesus. I want to get up and follow him. And if that's the reality in your heart, after you took communion, go to those at the prayer station at the back, just to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. And they will be praying a blessing for you as you start that walk with Jesus. And tell a friend, tell a family, be like Matthew. Tell what God is starting doing in your life. Or maybe you just want to recommit yourself to be the one who will share that story of God's love around you. Come to communion, and if you want prayer, go. So you receive that blessing, that empowering from God to be a witness. Jesus there at that table was showing his disciples what it means to do the will of God. And he's showing that today to us also through hearing that story. Jesus shows that he wants us to make friends with the least, the last, and the lost. And he wants us to just tell our story of how we've experienced God's grace in our life. Go and learn, it says, what this means. Interestingly, in Greek, the learn is the same word than disciple, mathetai. Go and disciple. Go and be my apprentice. Go and experience that when you shared your life with the least, the last, and the lost, something amazing happened. I am showing you now in practice what it means to do God's will. Leave your ivory tower. It is mercy I want first, not an impressive display of religiosity and busyness. Through this story, I think Jesus continues to say to us, the church, what it means to be a disciple, to follow him. It's not about us. It's not about our religious achievements. It's about being a place where grace is shown, where stories are shared, and where we do the work we have been assigned to do. Healthy churches are healthy bodies of apprentices, made up of undeserving sinners, caught up in God's amazing grace, grasping together that God has made us new in Christ so that we can do the things he planned for us long enough. long ago. And so that's why Paul says, for you are God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus' mission is predicated upon mercy, not merit. No one is despicable enough by the standards of our world to be outside his concern and invitation. In our reading, the totally unworthy are graced by the presence of Jesus himself, for he has come to call such persons to be part of his kingdom. So will we as a church go and learn what this means? It's a call to reflect. To reflect on the danger of religion, which is all about the external, in which rituals, demands have taken place of love and mercy, which should be at its core. Not that rituals are unimportant or unhelpful, but they cannot replace the core, which is love and mercy. And so I'm grateful for Richard, who has produced some notes for the home groups, and they're very helpful questions that I would like to leave with you. How can we focus more clearly on the essentials and think less about what is in reality no more than stage dressing? How much of a failing for the church today is our unwillingness to have meals or something equivalent with such as those invited by Matthew? In what ways does the church of today, maybe those called to be doctors, helping others to find God, how can the church today in what way does the church of today spend too much time ministering to itself, being inward-looking, and too little to those in need in our society and around us? Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we recommit ourselves to be those who, through your Holy Spirit, share the story of your love. Make us a people that put at the heart and the center your mercy and your grace. Teach us what it means to share life with others. Encourage us, strengthen us, and guide us. For your sake, Jesus. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.